Chapter 17. Last Kiss.
Turn around and take off your shirt. I don't want to wrinkle your uniform.
Delia, it's not my birthday. What is this about?
For a man that's been on so many worlds and seen so many wars, you have an exceedingly narrow view of reality.
In what way?
You see everyone around you as the enemy, even me and mine. It's time you learned what that feels like, so turn around and put your hands on the wall. If you make a sound, I will release this video to the entire Skola.
You wouldn't dare.
Again, you're holding on to that narrow view.
I'm not afraid of you or your whip. You're not the first to disagree with my methods.
Did you learn anything from those that did?
I learned that Adeptus Astartes don't miss, and I learned that a heavy caliber round can take a man's leg clean off.
On Scipio 5?
Yes.
I've seen the bullet. Thank you for explaining its place in your heart. Now, turn around.
Emerging from the Sykana tramway that morning, Mersina whispered,
I forgive you for comparing me to coffee.
There would be far more she would need to forgive in the coming days. It was good, wasn't it?
Beyond good. I've never experienced anything like it before.
You saved my life last night. Thank you. I took hold of her strong hand. The dim filtered light seemed to give us away, and I could sense Mercy's discomfort. Thank Delia, too.
For what?
For lending you that necklace. I leaned in and stole a kiss.
Go stand over there.
She pointed to another corner, one free of the previous night's ruptured plascrete. I obeyed, and she switched off the priceless device, restoring the distance between us. It was a fitting start to our day. I needed to be here, and with a list full of names, I sought first to clear my own. The downtime attacks hadn't disrupted the Skola's daily schedule. A campus full of unstable psychers needed to be kept occupied, and the Sykana staff conducted business as usual. Proctor Veruca Round was probing the individual shields of 50 eager psychers as I slipped into the back of the circular lecture hall. Commissar Belling had tested my psychic shell, cracking it with every slug, and I wondered how I would fare against high-energy laser bolts rather than heavy-caliber ammunition. It all came down to how quickly my shield could absorb and disperse the incoming energy, be it thermal, kinetic, or high-frequency light. If the barrier could conduct it or capture it, my innate psyker abilities could convert it into something useful and store it away for later. Any sort of warp-based energy was easily defeated, but the fact that my bones had shattered under the impact of coarse-jacketed metal meant I still wasn't doing it right. I looked up to find the entire auditorium waiting in silence with faces turned toward the back. My personal black angel, a sister of the abyss, had secured the only exit, activating the magnetic field that clamped the ceramite door in place during emergencies. And she thinks I'm dramatic?
Welcome back, Master Silver. Thank you for not disrupting my class.
My shields repulsed most of Proctor Round's sarcasm, but I liked her term of ownership for the flock around her. The presence of Mersina offered enough proof to the other students that I wasn't a ghost. I hoped that fact alone would shatter Trasker Belling's well-crafted spell over their minds. Taking advantage of the attention, I walked down to the front. Proctor, I'm here to work on my shield. The last one worked perfectly well up to a point. I knew it could be done. Funnel Galt's blue-tinted shield had stopped a tank-killing blast from exiting the Balagim courtyard. Sure, the barrier had fizzled out, but I had a far smaller area to protect. I wasn't a warp demon or a Hellblade tank, but given the secret, I should be able to stop a small missile without too much pain, right?
Perfect up to a point? May we test that assumption?
Proctor Roan pointed to a spot on the stage a few steps away from where she stood, and I obliged. Roan stepped down into an aisle and gave me the ready.
On my mark, everyone here will cast one spell at Sanctionite Silver. His shield is more advanced than most, and I want to see it in action.
The ring of 50 Sanctionites unloaded a wide variety of warp-tainted energy, including lightning bolts, stalks of fire, kinetic punches, and mind-bending shrieks in a broad spectrum of individual colors. The mix was almost more than I could juggle. As my shield held the barrage at bay, I rerouted the raw energy, shunting the bulk of it away into starfire. An inner conversion began filling me with raw silver power that felt better than any Medicaid cocktail. Scanning the crowd, I admired the smile of relief on Whisper's face and the concern on Helix's. Jinx had aimed low, targeting the most painful spot imaginable, and his grin didn't portray an ounce of guilt. It was a special moment until the looming Null Sister took one step away from the door and drew her laser pistol.
Hold. Silver, are you ready for your next round?
The crowd of students gasped. They'd all seen the video and were about to star in the next. Nobody wanted that. No, I'm not, I admitted. Round smiled and pointed at the black-clad young woman.
What would you do if she tried to kiss you?
Totally inappropriate, I know. I'd kiss her back.
Exactly.
What exactly?
When something, be it a bullet or blade, intends to strike you, you must block it with enough energy to counteract its momentum. Instead of simply diverting and collecting the incoming energy, you must spend what you've already got to stay alive.
I'd never seen it done, but it made perfect sense. Round continued giving orders.
Master Jinx, please show Silver your sphere. I know you've got at least one on you.
Jinx flicked a palm-sized steel ball into the air and let it spin in orbit around his head. It was bigger than the bullet lodged in Belling's apartment. I watched Jinx carefully. He wouldn't be throwing a warp-back spell this time, and as the speed on his projectile's orbit increased into a blur, I realized that I wouldn't even have time to react. I wasn't a precog that could predict his attack or sense the pull of a trigger. I wasn't going to dodge it or block it on my own. My shield would have to do the job for me. I held up my hands. Please give me a minute. In my mind, I reformed the overlapping knives. They'd been a poor choice from the start. Sure, I'd win if I ever got into a wrestling match, but that was the least likely of attacks. Proctor Roan had gone with feathers, knowing that a pound of psychic feathers had just as much weight as a pound of polysteel, but was far more nimble. I opted for the convex, razor-thin, overlapping scales of a warp demon. I added in the intention that my defenses surge with enough power to counter any incoming threat, be it matter or energy, dark or mundane. The chaotically intelligent warp energy was tied to my being and in dire need of preserving its host. I had a considerable amount in store. Now, I said. Jinx complied, launching his monstrous bullet straight into my waiting hand. As magic tricks go, it was a success, even after Mercy pulled her trigger. The dense ball of polysteel exploded outward in my hand, showering the stage with metallic dust. My shield had shifted the orb into harm's way. Everyone was startled by the shot and the outcome, but my hand was fine. I'd barely felt the impact of the ball or the ensuing bolt. Jinx, I hope you've got more balls. Mercy holstered her weapon and leaned back against the door, and for the second time in my life I saw her smile. No matter what happened next, I would make it through this day. Proctor Roan had other ideas.
Master Silver, where did you learn that shield pattern?
The Underhive. I was done with hiding my past. A show and a little intimidation went a long way in a room full of potential predators.
Silver, you are excused. Join us next week when we begin the banishment track.
I'll stay if you don't mind. I took a seat in the back row, safely outside of Mercy's null field. My head was still spinning from the night's conflict, the jarring contrast between the freedom of the Overhive, the dark imprisonment of Psychana, and the sudden opening of refined hearts and minds around me, piled on the night's brutal violence and the toll of the chaotic golden curse. All told, it was a recipe for disaster, and certainly justified the black-clad angel at my back. I didn't fear anyone in the hall but scanned them all, looking for hints of a familiar golden hue. My eyes landed on the backs of my classmates. They rubbed their necks and glanced over their shoulders at Mercina and me. They didn't know what was happening with their lightning rod, but knew enough to keep a safe distance. At the close of the session, I followed them outside into the broad circular plaza and started at the top, asking if I could visit Clan Killhaven for dinner. Murmurs of assent led to one sure nod from Helix. I looked her in the eye. Thank you for everything.
You have a pretty escort.
I do.
Where are you staying these days?
I've got a room at Balagim, but I've also been known to roam the neutral block. I glanced around, catching the eyes of a frightened bird. Dawn, are you okay? I miss hearing your voice in my head. The waifish young woman finally looked up at me.
Your shield blocks me. It doesn't let anything through.
I didn't know. Looks like I'll have to listen to your real voice from now on.
You scared her,
said Jinx.
The Commissar's video scared everyone, and not only for the obvious reasons.
He pointed to the repaired plascrete.
You showed everyone the combination of your anger and power. You could kill any of us in an instant.
Jinx was easily as lethal as I, and his projectiles, once set in motion, weren't slowed by the Sisters of the Abyss. And yet you all gave me your best shot in front of Proctor Roan. You didn't seem too scared of me then.
Scola time versus downtime. I didn't say you were insane, but you carry a spark none of us can face. Our shields won't stop that.
Okay, intimidation was a curse, and I'd learned it from the best. Dawn, is this true? I said. Her tears were her answer. She'd once counted me as a friend. Everyone, show me your shields. I spoke in a gentle tone, and they complied. Now, everyone, form a ring and hold hands. I took a spot between Dawn and Onyx and reached through the chain, tasting the flavors of each shield and letting it settle in my mind among the silver. It built, and I pushed the amplified result out ever so carefully. The spell was a potent mix of Class 1137 Lima with a silvery tint, and suddenly everyone's shields had an added layer of protection, even mine.
Whoa,
said Jinx.
What did you do?
I gave each of you a piece of my shield, amplifying each of yours. Dawn, how do you feel?
Better,
she whispered. I didn't believe her. Dawn, things aren't as bad as you might think. Brushing my thumb against my collar, I caught Mercina's eye and nodded. Mercy switched on her necklace and approached, forcing the rest of my class back, everyone but Dawn, who now had my arm looped around her slender waist.
Silver what?
Dawn froze as if she was a rabbit pinned between the jaws of a predator, looking between Mercy and me.
She doesn't hurt.
No. Mercina protects all of us, as do her sisters.
Why?
Mercina's a friend, the only one I've got, and she can see that I care about all of you. Please tell Bizena Laurent that we'll both be coming to dinner tonight.
Hey, tough guy, you want to leave the girl alone?
Sanctionite Kane strode up, leading his entire class. He was a touch shorter than the average 15-year-old, with dark brown hair and piercing green eyes, and seemed to run purely on pluck. I released Dawn. Kane, have you met my class?
Your class? I didn't think you had any by the way you were putting your hands on her.
This is Dawn. Can I help it if she just dumped me?
Obviously not. Now step away.
It was an out, so I took it, leaving the two groups staring at my back in disbelief. I knew the rules, and thanks to Dean Kilhaven, I had another name on my list to track down.
I think she's a little young for you,
said Mercy. Dawn, she's a little young for this place and everyone in it. My goal is to see her add a year to her life before they ship me off to less friendly scenes. If Dawn makes neonate, she should be well on her way to a life as a boring astropath.
You like her?
I offered my most wolfish smile. She's young and defenseless. What's not to like? Mercy reached for her necklace.
Are you suggesting that I turn this off?
I'm suggesting you kiss me one last time before you do.